This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Today is the fourth and final day of the Four Corners Food Drive, and another good one set up today. So now the east side of town, I'm down in Henderson, I guess, southeast specifically.
It's Henderson.
I mean,
it's the east side.
It's
east of where we are.
That's why I said southeast. Relax.
Just say Henderson.
All right. So on Stephanie today, what is the exact address out there, Audrey? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's 201 South Stephanie Street. Simple.
Okay. Yep, 201 South Stephanie. Go to the Albertsons there, and today, throughout the entire day, X107.5 once again out on the streets trying to collect as many dollars and as many non-perishable food items for our friends over at Three Square. $1 equals 6 meals for hungry kids right here in the Las Vegas Valley. So excited to see a lot more generous people come out, especially out in Henderson today. We've been bouncing around the city throughout the week, and yesterday saw some really nice big donations, including some of the guys that are working on the Raider Stadium swinging through and donating $2,500.
That's a lot of meals.
15,000
meals.
15,000 meals.
Yeah.
Wow. That's huge.
That is amazing.
Yep.
I love that so much. You know, it's. And have you seen the stadium like recently? Have you driven by it in the last like week or two?
Oh, yeah. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's going up real quick.
Yeah, it looks good. They're putting the glass on the outside and. Just the way it's coming along. But those guys obviously doing good work over there. And then even better work by showing up and paying it forward. $2,500. That's meals for an entire year. 3 meals a day for an entire year for like 20 kids. That's unreal.
Maybe even more than that. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Matt, once we get Matt that high,
if you got 365 days in the year times three, it's like 1,000 meals.
40 kids.
40 kids.
40 kids.
Wow. 40 kids fed for an entire year.
Every meal taken care of.
Every single meal. That's unreal.
Wow.
So bravo to those guys. And let's keep it rolling today. It's actually not raining today, right, Audrey? So where you are sitting right now, it's pretty
nice. It's a
little
chilly. Yeah, no, it's a little chilly, but honestly, like it's gorgeous outside. We've got some sun picking up right now. But I mean, come on, it's warm in your car, obviously, if you need to get to work really quickly. We've been doing, just running out straight up to the street if you need us to grab your money. We understand that people are on their way to work or on their way to lunch later today. However you can stop by, but we can make it happen for you if you can just swing right up. I mean, we're basically like right on the corner of the sidewalk here. So one step and we can just grab your donation if you need us to. Obviously, like you said earlier, non-perishables as well.
201 South Stephanie, got some good news and some bad news to get things going today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, let's get today going with some bad news.
The bad news is they've learned how to jump. Shark researchers off the coast of Massachusetts captured video of an expert jumping to avoid a great white shark that jumped out of the water right beneath him.
Oh, hell no.
The video is posted on YouTube by the Atlantic White Shark Conservation Task Force, and the state shows the shark researcher standing there using a pole to take underwater GoPro footage of a 9-foot female shark swimming near the vessel when suddenly the guy has to leap out of the way because the shark breaches right under where he was standing on the pulpit.
Hell no.
No.
Yeah, so
the ocean is so gross. I hate it so much.
Now they're invading the air
land
outside the ocean.
Right.
I know.
White sharks are wild and unpredictable animals.
Could you imagine?
Said the guy who's doing the research.
So, yeah, okay. You're, put it lightly.
You're the researcher, and you're trying to save these sharks, which is hard to say. Try to shave these sharks.
Shave the sharks?
You're either shaving the sharks or saving the sharks, depending on whatever your kink is.
Manscaped.com.
Yeah, whatever. And you're there, you're trying to get some video, and these sons of bitches are trying to jump out of the water and eat you while you're trying to save them.
This guy was way more positive than I would have been. He said, this is a good reminder of the importance of following safety tips and always staying vigilant when in or out of the water. Is there a safety tip saying that you should always be ready to dive out of the way in case a shark jumps out of the water at you?
I know you're like 20 miles inland, but you got to watch out. Be prepared
to
barrel roll at any point in time. Do we really need sharks? I feel like if that's an animal that we lost, that nobody would really miss.
Oh, careful now.
Agree.
All the shark apologists are going to come after
you. The ecosystem would be fine.
Big ocean.
We've got whales. We've got orcas. Let's just get rid of all the great white sharks and call it a day.
Wait, aren't orcas technically sharks?
They're
mean like sharks.
They're actually the only known predator of like great white sharks.
Yeah. They make great whites their bitch.
Right.
So you would rather keep a mean old thing that is actually meaner than a great white shark out there in the ocean?
Yeah, I mean,
orca whales or killer whales are 1,000 like sharks eat like. Mm.
Sounds like sharks are getting a bad name right now.
No, because sharks are dumb, mindless creatures that all they do is eat. Whereas, I like to think about
that too, though. Honestly,
well, I've got a spare tire in the back of my rental car right now.
If you're feeling warm out here.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'll take on any of you. I don't care. I don't discriminate by age or gender. Just come at me. Let's throw down.
Message deleted.
Oh, so
what? Jeez, man.
Why are you mad, bro?
Why do you want to fight everyone? It's just so much work. And then you have to worry about people hating you, and you have lifelong enemies. And I mean, when's the last time that you got into a fist fight, Mahoney?
Been a hot minute.
Yeah, right? Do you ever think in the rest of your life that you're going to get into another fist fight?
Possibly.
Yeah, okay. It's pretty likely that you
I mean, I think there's always a distinct possibility that could go down. But, you know.
What would instantly make you want to fist fight somebody?
Somebody touching my wife.
Okay.
Audrey, or my parents, or, you know, somebody I care about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything that would instantly make you go to fisticuffs?
Kind of same. Like, anybody, like, touching my man weird, like, in a public space? Or maybe, somebody messing with my dogs. Like, if I'm at a dog park, I would punch a dog right in the face.
Yep.
For me, the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, my wife, she can handle herself. She's a tough gal.
She'll throw some elbows.
Yeah. But the kids.
She's got the reach.
Yeah, I'll take out an extended baton.
But even then, like, you know, it just depends on how it is, too. Like, if it's somebody who's, like, being an a-hole to them, I'm just going to plot to ruin their life. You know?
Yeah, the slow burn is much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know it's coming when it's, you know, it's directly in front of you, but when it hits you from behind.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And you're not even thinking about it. That's, that is the
Are we still talking about fighting here?
I know, I don't know.
That's the best, sir. After the tone.
Okay, I have a question. Was your high school full of rumors? Because mine was, and as I've talked to other people, I feel like it's all the same. Like, we had this story, there were ones about teachers and janitors and a handful of even, like, some of the kids at school. Like, there was that one girl who, like, did a bunch of stuff, or, like, that teacher who did porn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do all schools just kind of make up the same rumors, or you think they're true?
Message deleted.
Man, I mean, I know it's been a while, but I don't really remember any of the high school rumors.
I remember a couple.
I remember there was one girl that got expelled because she had the premarital relations.
They got expelled?
Yeah, I mean, it was a religious school. It was a private school.
It was like, they but yeah,
she,
people for that?
She admitted to getting it on.
That's so dumb.
And they kicked her out of school. They expelled her from school.
It's like if you go down to BYU and you got to take a chastity pledge. God, what year are we living in? Going back to the dark ages. In my school,
I am wearing a chastity belt right now. Just in case.
Are you?
Just in case.
We had a very hot social studies teacher who the rumor was that she used to be a dancer.
Oh, really?
But there were 100% confirmed, like, back in the day, like, which, you know, how I don't know how this, like, ever did not come to light. But there were, you know, like, the gym coach, who was a former, you know, NFL football player, you know, I mean, never made it anywhere big. But he was, he had several female students who he would date outside of school.
In high school?
No. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That's so bad.
That's so
that
creepy.
That is so bad.
Hey, go teach at the university, pal.
Yeah. What a freak. Oh, my God.
That's bad.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I can't watch Home Alone. Yeah, it's a classic movie, but every time I see it, I just want to beat up Kevin McAllister so bad. He's just like an annoying kid and a little jerk, and honestly, it's what no one who likes the movie wants to admit.
Message deleted.
What are you talking about? Kevin McAllister is a national treasure.
And if you try to come for Kevin McAllister, he will wreck you. Like, I mean, he put the dude from Goodfellas. He wrecked Joe Pesci more in Home Alone than they did in Goodfellas.
So this may not surprise you, but WeWork, ever since they have had their struggles, and I'm underscoring struggles, mm-hmm. like they're laying off almost half their workforce.
Thousands of people.
Meanwhile, their creepy CEO that got forced out of the company gets a $1.7 billion golden parachute.
Barf.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. A lot of people are saying that it's been very good for them, the competitors specifically of WeWork are saying, hey, we're in the hyper-growth stage at the moment thanks to WeWork and their epic, very public collapse. We're in the hyper-growth stage, said Mark Dixon, the CEO of IWG. He told Fast Company the collapse of the IPO from WeWork helped to jumpstart their business even more, even though they have 3,500 global locations to WeWork's 625. And they're expanding right now, acquiring smaller competitors. WeWork's troubles have led to more demand for us and created an even brighter spotlight on the industry. The knowledge of the industry went up many notches during that whole period. So he said, really bad press for WeWork. Good press overall for the industry.
Do you think that that's something that's going to continue to grow the kind of temporary working
yes.
space for professionals?
Far more now than ever before. And the reason I say that is because you think about how a lot of people that you know have multiple jobs and they're yep. not just working for one company. There's a lot of freelance people out there. There's a lot of people that do side work that don't just want to, when they're doing that side work, go set up shop at a Starbucks, you know? And so having an office that you can go in and it's got all of the amenities that you would need in a regular office space, but you don't have to deal with all of that yourself, meaning that you're not signing a lease for multiple years. You don't have to worry about furnishing it. You have to worry about hiring a secretary, somebody as an administrative assistant. All of that stuff is built in, but it's also super short term. Yes, you're going to pay more for it, but you can go in and if you have a project that you're working on for a couple of months at a time, mm-hmm. but not years at a time. Mm-hmm. It just takes a lot of the administrative overhead away. And so mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly convenient for people.
I just work at my house. All that seems like extra.
Yeah, but let me tip you off on something here.
Uh-huh.
You don't have kids yet. It becomes a lot more challenging when you have
that's
kids.
That's a choice you made, my friend.
No, I'm not complaining. Uh-huh. I love when my kids come in. But if I'm in the middle of trying to do something,
you got a
little three-year-old Tasmanian devil rolling into the room.
You don't
room.
Have enough barriers in your house.
The barriers.
You need biometric scanning doors. You know, you got to
scan the retina to get in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have, you don't have enough, but you got too much. This open.
I see.
This is why back in the day, Dave, all the old house floor plans, they were closed off. This open floor plan. This is what this is what you get.
Yeah, I asked for it. So this, speaking of places to work, this seems like a nice place to work. McDonald's employees are actually suing the company after several of its franchises in Chicago redesigned the store, and they're saying that they made the counter lower, and so it's easier for customers to attack the staff. In 13 restaurants, the counter has been made lower, and they say it's easy for angry patrons to jump over it and assault workers.
So it's because of the countertops, not because of the location in Chicago?
Maybe, right? Employees have been threatened with guns, beaten with a wet floor sign, had kitchen equipment thrown at them by a naked customer. Others say they have been pepper sprayed, been flashed, been propositioned, even somebody went number one on somebody, according to the complaint. In the Chicago area, there are more than 20 calls every day to emergency services from McDonald's, according to the suit. So they're saying, hey, this isn't like an isolated incident. 20 times a day, there's people calling 911 because of crazy stuff happening at these locations. Maybe lowering the counter wasn't a great idea.
Well, if you're going to lower the counter, you got to add in like the bank teller style plastic in front of it. You know what I'm saying? Like the bulletproof plastic that's that they talk to you through. And then
it's very specific with that plastic. You know how some of them, the little thing where you put the credit card underneath?
Yeah.
It's too low. Like, you can't even get the, like, you do it in the little cup.
Can you do, like, the weird finger thing?
You do the weird finger thing, and you, like, flick your card, but you can't flick it too hard, otherwise it'll go flying out of the cup on the other side.
Like a ski jump?
Yeah.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
The Four Corners Food Drive rolls on here in Las Vegas, 201 South Stephanie. $1 equals 6 meals for hungry kids. Audrey is out right now, 201 South Stephanie, and people can swing by today, make a donation. The sun is coming up here in the Las Vegas Valley, something that we haven't seen the past couple of days.
I know, it's so nice, and it's getting so warm, honestly. It's really nice to see the sun poking through, and we actually just had a few guys stop by, Mark and Clint. Shout out to them for bringing by some non-perishables and obviously some donations. We're at 180 meals so far for the morning, but we were talking earlier about the tally as far as where we're at, just as far as yesterday, right? 36,234 meals so far. So that's 12,000 people who are going to be fed for an entire year. Three meals for an entire year. 12,000 people so far.
Over 12,000 kids right here in the Las Vegas Valley don't have to worry about where their next meals are coming from. So three meals a day for over 12,000 kids for the next year, thanks to the generosity of people right here in Las Vegas. Let's keep it going, man. We got one more day of this, only a few more hours. But, if we see that same sort of generosity that we saw yesterday, again, shout out to those guys from the local union that came by with, $2,500. That goes so far in helping to feed kids here in the Las Vegas Valley. And a huge shout out to people that also are able to swing by with $5, $10. That is a huge help too.
Huge. Absolutely. I mean, it goes so far. I think, before today is the last day though today. So there is a little bit more urgency today than there was previous to that. And you got to remember, normally Three Square does every dollar gets three meals, which is amazing, but there is a corporate sponsor right now. So every dollar equals six meals. So your dollar will go further right now than almost any other time during the year. So can we hit that 15,000 mark? Can we hit that 20,000 mark for families fed here in Las Vegas? I mean, I think we can do it.
I think we can too.
So get Absolutely. Out there, 201 South Stephanie, all morning long. Audrey is going to be there hanging out and collecting donations with our friends from Three Square. It is a huge help for kids. And you don't really think about this on a day-to-day basis if you're not food insecure. And if you know where your next meal is coming from, and a lot of people, that's just their day-to-day life. But also, there's a lot of people out there right here in the Las Vegas Valley that don't know where their next meal is coming from. Next week is Thanksgiving. You're probably hoping that you don't overeat because then you'll fall asleep during the football game.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, you're blessed, man. You got things good. Pay it forward a couple of dollars. Makes a huge difference. 201 South Stephanie, the Four Corners Food Drive continues.
It's Top Stories. Here's what's making news.
So if you like betting on sports here in Las Vegas, then you probably, maybe will like this. I don't know. William Hill has bought CG Technology. So they are buying the sportsbook assets here in Las Vegas and the Bahamas. Purchase is subject to regulatory approval, as everything is. But the leases for the British company would also expand its reach to operating sportsbooks at the Cosmopolitan, the Venetian, the Palazzo, the Palms, the Tropicana, and the Silverton as well.
That's so, a big footprint here in Las Vegas.
I'm a big fan of the William Hill app.
Yep.
I haven't gone to a lot of their physical sportsbooks, but, I mean, I do go to the sportsbooks at those properties. So I imagine that, it all kind of being under the same umbrella, it's a good thing overall.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, like I said, I've been pretty happy with William Hill overall, like you said. And
except for when the app went down last Sunday.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. On a football Sunday. Come on, man.
How you going to go down on a Sunday?
Mm-hmm. they did try to make
it
right,
Lord's
though.
Day.
They gave a $25 credit to people for them just going
that's
down.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably saved me some money anyhow.
Yeah, you would have won that
bet. But I thought you were supposed to win. Yeah.
I would have won one of the bets. But, I probably would have fired some more donk bets out there, too.
Okay.
So William Hill. Tell me if this is kind of a dig at CG, though. William Hill, when they acquired it, their spokesperson said that the cost was not material.
Do we know how much they were purchased for?
We don't know. But
I don't know if that's a dig.
Saying
or
it's like not significant, you're like, man, mister, I just stole your girl, came in and bought your company for something that wasn't material.
Or do you go, I should have priced it a lot higher.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. I mean, that's, like I said, that's a significant footprint in the sports books here in Las Vegas.
It's PlayStation 5 having some details leaked there. There was a post on Twitter that revealed the PlayStation 5 could launch on November 20th of next year, so November 20th of 2020. The tweet also shares it would cost $499, and it speculates that Sony is going to release more details about it in June. But that sound about right on par for you, Mahoney?
I feel that's about right. I think $500 is actually a pretty, even though, yes, that's not
reasonable
cheap,
for sure.
But if you think about what the original Nintendo cost back in like 1981,
weren't they like $300 or something?
They were like $300-something. Like the price of a video game for the most part has stayed pretty damn close to $60 for for the last 30 plus years at this point. Yes, now games have microtransactions, which are garbage, and some have the play to win element, which are garbage, but the fact that we're still able to get these video games that, I'm playing Borderlands 3 right now, and I have I think 56 hours played on it, and I paid $60 for that game. So I'm getting
it's a lot of bang for your buck.
A dollar per hour of entertainment out of something like that. So
it's pretty good.
It's I would say that's pretty reasonable for how much you're probably going to use it.
And also, I mean, considering that it's $4.99 for a PlayStation 5, the newest version. Yep. Meanwhile, an iPhone 11 costs $1,200.
Like
you're like, okay, yeah. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. It's like you can buy two PlayStations, three PlayStations for the same price, and I think you get way more use out of the PlayStation when it comes to gaming.
Well, speaking of things that are down the road but not too far away, Resorts World has updated their plans for their opening. It's the new multi-billion dollar Las Vegas mega resort, and it's the one that looks just like the Wynn across the street.
It looks nothing like the Wynn. Nothing.
What are you talking about?
The Wynn has gold in it. Theirs is red, my friend.
Okay.
No, actually, it was the exact same color, and they've changed them now because they got sued by the Wynn for looking exactly like the Wynn.
Everybody's so litigious in this country.
Whatever. Which, I would like to see Mahoney build a city center that looks exactly like City Center across the street.
That's right.
Yeah. But the cost is $4.3 billion. It promises to make it the most expensive resort property ever developed here in Las Vegas. The original price tag was $4 billion, but, you know, just an extra $300 million. I don't know how you, like, underestimate by that much. It seems like a lot of money.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot.
But it's going to open in 2021.
We have so many things going up. We were talking about this yesterday. That cost so much money, $4 billion. And also $4 billion to make something that looks just like the Wynn. There's no creativity. They have nobody else in their department that could have thought of a different outside plan.
They're trying to differentiate it now. Like the end of the building is going to be a big LED like the Palms has done. So they took that idea from the Palms. And then like one side of the building is also supposedly going to be a giant screen like they have at that. I forget which resort it is. But one of the big resorts in Atlantic City has that same thing where like the whole side of it is a giant LED.
I mean, we kind of have that down on the strip a little bit further, like right across from like the Cosmopolitan, like right where that Walgreens and the bubblegum shrimp.
Kind of. That's like an LED billboard, though. You know, this is like the whole side of it's going to be
side of the building. So they just are taking the best things of each casino and putting it onto theirs.
Oh, we know.
Seems
whatever.
Like a good idea to me.
If it's going to offer a bunch of people jobs here in Las Vegas, then whatever. But for $4.3 billion, you'd think you'd get a little more creative, perhaps.
Nah, man, it's everything's been done. That's the problem.
You're trying to get a job over there. What's going on with you, man?
I'm Mr. International. Me and Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide. 702.
Speaking of Mr. Worldwide, how would you like to go on vacation and everyone see your butt, Mahoney? Because now there's an opportunity for that. A Japanese hotel offers a room that only costs $1 per night. But here's the catch. The guest's entire stay is live streamed on YouTube.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel
Why? It's so creepy.
Like, I mean, if it was just me and I'm like, well, if you're going to watch this, I hope you enjoy it.
So he was looking for ways to boost business and was inspired by a British YouTuber who live streamed his time at the hotel. And he said it's an old business model, but it's also a new business model. Our hotel is on the cheaper side, so we needed some added value, something special that everyone will talk about. And, yeah, I mean, it's getting a ton of attention, so $1 per night, but the whole thing gets live streamed. So, you know.
Of course, Japan would be the one who comes up with something like that. They're such voyeurs. Voyeurs.
Totally blue.
Over in Japan. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, is this something like you can't? I'm surprised that you're able to stream this live on YouTube because YouTube has pretty strict nudity policies.
Yeah.
So, like, what if I just decide to, you know, bare my ass?
Okay. So, Audrey, would you ever do this?
No, absolutely not. See, also, are they really putting the cameras in the bathroom? Like, there's got to be some kind of some line.
Here is the problem with this, is that when you ask an attractive woman, would she do it? The answer is a quick no. When you ask Mahoney, would you do it? He goes, yeah, probably. So it's going to be a room full of Mahoneys, a hotel full of Mahoneys.
I am an attractive woman. I identify myself as an attractive woman.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
You can identify yourself however you'd like.
That's right.
Friend.
That's the world we live in these days, Dave.
And doesn't make it true.
It's my truth. I'm living it.
Okay. Put your shirt back on.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
Audrey continues a live broadcast out at Albertsons today, hanging out there at 201 South Stephanie, raising foods and funds for our friends at Three Square. Non-perishable food items go directly to feed hungry kids right here in the Las Vegas Valley, and we talk about it all the time, but it's worth mentioning $1 equals six meals for hungry kids here in Las Vegas. So it's pretty amazing to see the generosity that's been pouring in these last couple of days.
And we've already raised 12,000 or enough meals for three meals a day for 12,000 people here in the Las Vegas Valley. 36,000 meals over that
it's
already.
Awesome. It's awesome.
In just a couple of days. Today is the last day, though, so if you have a chance and you're on that side of town there off of Stephanie, down there in Henderson, swing by, make a donation, say hello to Audrey, and you know, do your part to help the community get better.
Yes, and we also have like the non-perishable items as well. So I'm going to post that up on our story. I've had it up there all week at David Mahoney and then at X107.5 Las Vegas too. So if you're coming by, like if you're, you know, dropping the kids off at school in the morning and you need to go back home, if you think you've got some canned goods or, you know, even toothpaste, toothbrushes, things of that nature, if you can do that, because, you know, sometimes we're short on cash ourselves during the holidays, anything that you can do in order to help. It has been a little, honestly, a little slow this morning. So kind of creating the urgency that today is the last day in order to donate, especially with the corporate match, I guess, that's the six meals for $1 when it usually is three meals.
201 South Stephanie, here we go with the internet is awesome. Our favorite audio clips of the week, and we start with this. Real Jim Mahoney. It is from Cover Your Ears on Tuesday's show. Mm-hmm. It is a young man, I think it's a young man, that's doing Beverly Hills, and it's a Weezer cover. It's just really magically sang, but also the guitar work here. Mwah.
Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack, and my friends are just as screwy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody, got nothing in my pocket. Beverly Hills, that's where I want to be.
I mean, one of the finest performances ever. Give that young man or woman a record deal right now.
Speaking of singing, I don't know if this person is trying to sing or not. It's from Tipsy or Toddler that we played earlier in the week, and they had definitely had way too much to drink, and I think that they're trying to sing, but I'm not sure. Let's have a listen. They're either trying to sing or their hands caught in the garbage disposal. I can't tell. I don't know what's happening there.
Oh,
help.
My goodness.
And this, help. And this is kids. Why, you know, when you think that extra fourth shot of Fireball, you know, when you're out and about,
your friends are going to record you and they're going to shame you and post it on the internet.
That's how you end up on the that's how you end up on the internet in this show.
And here's one from Bleep BS that we played just yesterday here on the program, where there is a shop owner talking about a guinea pig being stolen. Now, yeah, there's some bleeps that are placed in here that are totally unnecessary. He's talking about a guinea pig being stolen. Mm-hmm. But just the way that he phrased this could have probably been better. It was two girls that stole the guinea pig.
Didn't look typically like the kind of girls that would be oversized. Looked over the counter to see the other girl very low to the ground, screaming at them, give me the. And the other girl reached down. One of them went to me, and the other girl pulled her back in the car and told her, no, we're.
Oh boy, she did throw the guinea pig at the shop owner as he chased her out. Thankfully, the guinea pig was not hurt.
Thank goodness. I mean, what kind of monster would throw a guinea pig at somebody?
And finally, for who's got the warrant this week? Ian was out and about, and he was talking to a number of people, and he found one guy that he just could not resist talking to because he was wearing roller skates, not roller blades. He's wearing roller skates.
The old school quads with no ankle support.
Now, this guy was thrilled with the fact that he was wearing roller skates. In fact, he just could not get enough of himself and his roller skating ability. I've never met anyone that is more proud of whatever their hobby is than this guy.
This guy is happier than all of us combined will ever be in our entire life.
His name is Ben, and he is a roller skating aficionado. from Who's Got the Warrant. The internet is awesome.
I found somebody on roller skates. Now, do you want to give your name?
Ben.
Hi, Ben. So, Ben, how long have you been roller skating for?
For over 20 years, sir.
Ben, what's your favorite song to roller skate to?
Oh, I gotta say, Joe Walsh's Turn to Stone. It's a 1975 classic.
How long have you had that particular pair of roller skates?
I got these at Big Five Sporting Goods for $59.85. I started with these at age 5, and the rollerblades and aggressive inlines ever since age 9. And I'm 31 now.
What do you do for a living? Are you single, married, divorced?
Oh, I have me a little lady. Her name is Miss Krista Elaine Glover. We're getting married in less than a couple years.
Here's a question for you. Have you ever been arrested before?
No, I can't say I have, no.
You've had no run-ins with the law?
Hey, if I've ever been guilty of anything, it's loving skating too much.
Has anybody ever yelled at you for your skating, maybe in a public place or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Hey, trust me. Being a skater, lots of folks have yelled at me for yelling and skating in public places.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
What do you think the odds are that he's got a real girl that he's going to be marrying in just a couple of years?
I don't think they're good.
Just a couple of years, guys. If I've ever been guilty of anything, it's loving skating too much.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So, our friends out at Three Square have been hanging out with us all week for the Four Corners Food Drive. A lot of generosity that we've seen so far. Today is the final day. If there is a sense of urgency, let it be upon you at this very moment. 201 South Stephanie and Audrey, give us a play-by-play. What are you seeing?
So, guys, you would have absolutely died. Miss Cynthia came by with her sweet daughter, Evelyn. They donated $100, and little Evelyn was the cutest thing ever. Aww. She's maybe like a year and a half old. Got her very first donut, so mom spoiled her by getting her a donut today, teaching her some awesome family values of getting out and donating to other people who are in need during the holiday season as well with $100. It was the cutest thing ever. And also, we had Miss Colleen, who actually just stopped by and put her name in for the raffle for holiday Havoc tickets, which is what we have down here, and for the meet and greet passes too. And she stopped by on her way into work at Sahara this morning, and it's absolutely beautiful out here. We've also had some people donating some non-perishables too, so we're getting up there. I think that we can really make the 5,000 people fed three meals a day for an entire year goal that you said earlier.
15,000.
We've already. Did I say 50? Yeah. I meant to say 15. 50 would be great though, but I think 15. Yeah.
Yeah, 15,000 people for an entire year, three meals a day would be phenomenal, and that's the goal that we're working towards right now. But I mean, if you think that $100 can feed 20 kids for an entire month, all three meals, I mean, that's just really incredible.
Well, when you look at it, you know, I mean, childhood hunger is a issue here in Nevada. There are more than 103,000 children who regularly do not know where their next meal is coming from here in Las Vegas. And according to Clark County School District, 65% of the children who are enrolled in CCSD are on the free or reduced meal program that they have going
65%.
And a lot of the times, that's the only meals that they could
that they get.
If Three Square wasn't there to step in and help provide food, because you think about, like, you get your last lunch on a Friday, your next meal might not be lunch or breakfast until Monday morning.
Yeah, until you get to school.
That's crazy.
And Three Square has a plan for that as well. So they have the backpack program where they send kids home with good, healthy, sustainable food, so that way they're able to eat. And we've heard these stories before, just how heartbreaking it is, but these kids a lot of times will get the food that they get from school and they'll take it home and they'll give it to their younger siblings.
Yep.
Because they
want
their younger siblings to be able to eat, and that is just heartbreaking.
Sometimes the kids
are devastating
to know that there's a 5-year-old out there who is taking, you know, his string cheese or his apple home that he gets from school, you know, the packed lunches, and he's giving it to his 2- and 3-year-old siblings because he cares more about themselves than he does himself, you know. And the fact that we're able to step up and offer some money and feed those kids and potentially their family as well. I mean, it's just like the need is really there.
It
is serious here in Las Vegas. So people stepping up and doing whatever they can. It's so important, and it goes a really long way.
And this is a need that goes year-round, but, you know, I mean, especially this time of year is you know, when I think it hits home, and it's the hardest for a lot of families because, you know, the holidays are here, and it's just if you've got a family and you're struggling and you're hungry, You know, this is why Three Square has done so well in Las Vegas. We're proud to work with them. And you look at any site like the Charity Review sites, Charity Navigator, usually being the most well-respected, they are at a 97% out of 100. They are 5 out of 5 stars. The money that we raise goes to feed kids. There's not these giant multi-million dollar salaries that are being paid for marketing campaigns and
none
fat cats who are just there like just siphoning off the generosity of others. No, the money is going to fix a problem here in the Valley.
Yep. And again, it's hungry kids that you're feeding sometimes for an entire month with a couple of dollars. And that's that. It's really incredible. So swing through, say hello to Audrey today. Final opportunity to do so as the Four Corners Food Drive wraps up around the city. But again, just a couple of bucks goes a really long way. 201 South Stephanie.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X1075.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So is there any workplace gossip going around your office right now? Over here, we've got one rumor going that one of our employees cheated on her husband with another employee's brother. It's getting awkward over here, guys. Really awkward.
Message deleted.
Who cares about workplace drama?
But now that you mention it, we don't really have that much workplace drama around here.
It's because we're in a soundproof room with just you and me.
No,
and
I mean
Audrey.
just in general. I mean, when's the last time that you guys can think of for real that there was a like an in-office affair going on that everyone knew about?
I mean, but who cares?
Oh God, I don't care about it. I don't want to be intermingled in it.
I'm with you, but that's the thing. Like, I can't even remember the last time. It's kind of disappointing. I really wish our staff would start knocking boots.
would start talking a little bit more?
Yeah. I did hear a rumor, and I'm pretty sure that it's true, that our engineer, Tracy, that's out there with you, that him and Fred have been cuddling during work hours.
They have their engineering room
over there, and that's somebody walked in the door, and they were just embracing.
Tracy was holding Fred like a baby,
like a baby rocking back and forth. Had a bottle in his mouth too. I think it was formula. I hope not breast milk.
What are they doing behind
Tracy's
those doors?
Own breast milk?
Yeah, who knows, man. But now for real, we don't have that much drama. But I'm kind of with you. Like, who cares if there is drama? Like, people are skeezy. Like, even adults, you know, they do a bunch of stupid stuff. I don't know why there's an expectation that we're gonna stop doing dumb things when we're
dumb
adults
as we get older.
How many times have we been in a situation where they're like, wait until you get into the real world? I've been hearing that for 40 years at this point. Like, in elementary school,
and
wait until you get middle school.
And you're only
38. In middle school, you're like, then it's high school. High school, it's going to be college. College, wait until you get your first real job. And then it's going to be, then you're like, every job is like, just wait.
College is the same thing as being in the workforce, only there's more alcohol and bad decisions.
Yeah.
You're more forgiven, I feel like.
And a little bit less hope.
But I'm saying, but even once you get into the workforce, too, how many times, second and third and fourth a chance, how many screw-ups do you know who continually get all these extra chances?
It's like, we know people that fail up.
I do like the fact that, you know, we as a society do kind of like to give second chances.
Yeah.
Because we would not have a job.
Please leave a message after the tone.
The other day, I was on Facebook and I saw this comment where somebody posted up this picture of John Cena, and the people were trolling the person that posted it, saying that they can't see the person in the picture, and the person that posted the picture was getting mad because they're like, it's right there. How do you not see him? And all I could think of was when Mahoney posted up this thing on Facebook one time, and some lady posted up a picture of John Cena, and Mahoney said, I can't see who's in the picture. And the lady goes, he's right there. It's John Cena. Mahoney goes, I don't see anybody. Who's right there? Yeah, it was some funny stuff.
Message deleted.
Those are the little things from Facebook that do bring us joy. That and, like, anytime somebody is, like, posting camo pants. Yeah, they have like a camo jacket
on. You're like, I can't see you. What are you talking about? What do you mean? What do you mean you're hunting?
It just whooshes over so many people.
I'm right there, man. I'm the one holding the gun. Gosh.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Start a support group for people who don't have gallbladders. Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried to go on Facebook, find a non-gallbladder support group, and just talk to people on there and try to make friends?
Message deleted.
Try to make friends.
It's a very serious problem. Dave?
You poop your pants.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X1075.
So the broadcast continues today.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X1075.
Three Square is out with Audrey right now on South Stephanie, 201 South Stephanie. And it's been going on the Four Corners Food Drive all this week. And we have our friends from Caesars actually in the studio today because you guys heard about what was going on. So I would officially like to welcome Andrew Fair to the X1075 studios. Nice to have you, my friend.
Thank you guys so much for having us in. We're real excited to be here.
And you brought the actual Caesar with you.
We brought Julius Caesar in the flesh.
You look way better than I expected you to after being dead all these years. Yeah, no, it's chiseled jaw. It's a good gig, I imagine, being the Caesar for Caesar's Palace. But
well, except for on March 15th.
Do you take that day off? So he just said, ouch. So let's talk about why you guys are here today, because it's been going on all this week, the Four Corners Food Drive around the city of Las Vegas. So we started in the south part of town, and then we went to the northwest and Summerlin yesterday. It's Henderson today, but you guys heard about what's going on. And obviously, Caesar's a huge part of the local community, not just for people that like to go down and enjoy the properties, but also a lot of people that are locals obviously work with you guys as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we heard what was going on, knew we wanted to be involved in Caesars Entertainment, just like you guys, loves their local community. So we went straight to the top. We got Julius Caesar involved and made sure to come down and get our donation cast for you guys. Love the work you're doing with Three Square.
And you guys actually brought a giant oversized check today that's going directly to our friends at Three Square.
Yes.
You're making a monetary donation, and we talk about this all the time. Every single dollar that you guys donate or anyone donates, that's six meals for hungry kids right here in the Las Vegas Valley. So it goes a really long way. So how much cash are you going to drop today?
500 for you guys.
500. That's 3,000 meals for 3,000 hungry kids. Meals. That is amazing.
Yes.
Thank you guys very much for doing that.
Thanks for having us to do it.
Absolutely. So we've seen some very generous donations over the last couple of days, but $500 obviously is a big move. Like I said, 3,000 meals for hungry kids right here in the Las Vegas Valley, and that's not the only thing that you guys have going on. Obviously, you mentioned that you love locals. This is a nice show of that, but something else that Caesars has going on over the holidays is what?
Yeah, a couple big things going on with Caesars Entertainment for the holiday season. We love our locals. We want them to come and enjoy the holidays with friends and family down at our Caesars Rewards properties. That's the Rio, Planet Hollywood, Paris, Bally's, Flamingo, Cromwell, Link, Harrah's, and, of course, Caesars Palace.
How long did it take you to remember all this?
Been with the company 7 years.
Okay. Seven.
So anybody who comes down, if you're a current Gold Caesars Rewards member or you sign up before December 31st, everybody is automatically getting upgraded to that platinum status. And that unlocks free parking at any of our Las Vegas properties.
Well,
and
that is a nice little Christmas gift, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the game changer for the locals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love that you're giving back to the locals on that.
Yeah, and that benefit will be valid through January 2020. So they'll have
all the way through the entire month of January?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah. Now through the end of January, they'll be able to capitalize on that free parking, come down, experience the Forum shops. We've got world-class dining establishments, Bacchanal Buffet, obviously one of my favorites. We've got the Link Promenade being turned into a winter wonderland for December. So
oh, really? I didn't know that.
A great place for you to bring friends, family, the kiddos. It's going to be a blast.
So I've got a bunch of family that's coming to town over the holidays. And you always wonder, you're like, you know, what can we do? And, you know, where should we go? And the Link is always at the top of the list. But now that you guys are doing the free parking, that is fantastic.
Absolutely. Link Promenade, definitely, especially if you got the kids. It's very festive, very decorative. You got the Fly Link that flies right over the top of it. Really a great spot to get to.
So when is the Winter Wonderland thing happening?
That'll start in December.
Okay.
Run through December down there at the Link. Caesars.com has all the information you want, so definitely check out Caesars.com for more details.
Well, thank you guys for showing up today, bringing a fat check and Julius Caesar himself to deliver it. 3,000 meals for hungry kids right here in Las Vegas. Take advantage of that free parking. Obviously, a lot of great stuff going on down at the Caesars properties over the holidays, and very nice, generous donation today. So certainly appreciate you guys.
Thank you guys very much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Go see Audrey right now. 201 South Stephanie. She is out there at the Albertsons and will be throughout the day today. X107.5 continuing the broadcast with our friends at Three Square.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
What is the most unprofessional thing that you've ever done at work? And maybe it's not your current work because you don't want to, you know, get fired. Maybe it's a previous work, but what is the thing that's at the top of your list for the most unprofessional thing?
I've been very inappropriate and unprofessional at work over the 15 years that I've worked for this radio station, but that still does not hold a candle to what a jock over on one of our sister stations did at a remote. So much like how Audrey's out at Albertsons raising money for Three Square. He was out at a car dealership many years ago, and a listener got into his face and shoved him. And so he beat him up and hit him with a chair.
I mean, if somebody else started it, you know, he's defending himself.
He was a big dude, too. Like, why? I don't understand why anybody would try to pick a fight with him. I think it might have been some, like...
Had something to do with a girl?
Yeah, because he was a handsome...
Pretty good-looking guy.
Had a nice southern draw. And, like long
a
hair.
Southern boy.
And a raging cocaine problem.
Yeah. So I feel like anything I've done still pales in comparison to beating up a listener at a car lot.
Armando said, I ate my coworker's lunch when I was hangry. Just kidding. Or am I?
I feel like that's dangerous.
I hate those kind of people. Don't eat people's
lunches.
That's
how you get, like, weird stuff done to food, man. Like, you could, like, if you were going to do that, which you shouldn't because that makes you an awful person, but you could do it exactly one time. Right? Because any time after that, I feel like the food may or may not be tampered with.
I don't know. I feel like I would come at you with a chair and beat you up in the workspace right there if you mess with my food.
What is the most unprofessional thing that you have done on the job? And, you know, probably better if you tell us about a former job as opposed to your current one, but we'll leave that up to you. This one going to Facebook, Kayla. This sounds pretty awesome. I was a manager at a Domino's when I was a teenager, so I had the key. After closing, I invited a few friends and played beer pong in the back room, then made a couple of pizzas in the dark for us to eat.
Hell yeah. Living that life at Domino's. My friend was a manager at a Tippins. I don't know if you know what a Tippins is.
No.
But they used to be a big time. Like, they're kind of like Marie Callender, where they had like all this like home cooked like chicken pot pie, bunch of soup, sandwiches. But they were well known for their pies. Like, and if their pies, like, they had like a 3 or 4 day like window that they had to sell these pies, and if not, the pies were still good, but they just couldn't sell them anymore. So we would go into the back of the Tippins at Northwest Plaza in St. Louis, which was a sketchy ass mall to begin with, and we would get high as hell, hang out in the back of the Tippins, and eat pie. Like, this is what really I think was. I used to be skinny, had abs back then.
This is the moment.
Like, was this the Tippins point? Come on, man.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash.
Well, last week everyone was mourning an iconic show going off the air for perhaps the final time as Days of Our Lives was not getting renewed.
I mean, the show has been on for damn near like 50, 60 years.
13,000 episodes debuted in 1965.
That's a long time ago.
Pretty unbelievable, right?
Long time ago.
Suddenly, in a plot twist that nobody could have expected, Days of Our Lives is getting renewed.
Okay, so everybody's coming back. The thing that we learned from this that was crazy to me, I knew they shot a lot of episodes in a day, but I didn't realize that they were 8 months out in advance. They are so far ahead in production. And again, the production looks pretty crappy through
next summer. But yeah, The longtime soaps that remain on the air, The Bold and the Beautiful, still on the air. The Young and the Restless, still on the air. And General Hospital.
General Hospital still on.
Yep.
Wow.
Have you ever watched a soap opera a day in your life, Dave?
Never, not once. Why would I do that?
I don't know. Maybe you stayed home from school with your mom and...
My mom did not sit around and watch soap operas. She had 6 children.
Well, maybe when you were sick, you know? Kids were all... Nope. Everybody else was out at school.
Nope. I would say that even though I've never watched a single episode of a soap opera, that somehow my mom has watched less.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Every morning you guys leave and I'm in the studio after you all, soaps are always on. Whatever channel you have it on, soaps come on the second you walk out the door.
And you watch?
I mean, I might turn up the volume from time to time.
She needs to see what's going on with Bo.
I do. It's actually pretty entertaining.
Well, you can name
pretty
drop
pretty entertaining.
Them?
Bo and Hope have been on since I was, like, they've been on that show since, like, 1983.
So Antonella Barba received a 45-month sentence in federal prison on Thursday in the U.S. District Court in Norfolk, Virginia. And you probably don't know who that is. She is a former American Idol contestant, and we see so many of these. Sometimes it's Big Brother, sometimes it's Real World and Road Rules, but most of the time it's somebody on a singing competition. The 32-year-old pleaded guilty to possession with intent to distribute more than 400 grams of fentanyl.
Oh, what a loser.
And 400 grams may not sound like a lot if you're talking about, you know, weed or cocaine or even meth, but fentanyl, 400 grams could kill tens of thousands of people if not used properly.
She was busted. Can take out a state wide, that's insane.
She was busted trying to deliver nearly 2 pounds of the drug to a stash house in Virginia back in October of last year. Ahead of her sentencing, her lawyers filed court documents asking the judge to give her a lighter sentence than the maximum 10 years she faced. In the documents, they blamed American Idol's detrimental impact on her life for the downward spiral from aspiring singer to convicted criminal. She was on the singing competition all the way back in 2007, was eliminated from the top 16, went on to pursue a career in Hollywood, of course, stalled out there, and then thought, well, fentanyl. That's a good answer.
Oh, my gosh. And she's blaming it on American Idol?
Yep.
Get out of here. Did she?
You're
sing
blaming
like,
it on the only good thing that ever happened to you.
Did she sing like a canary when they
I see what
asked about the co-conspirators?
Ray J, being as classy as he is, if you're not familiar with Ray J, he was the star in the original Kim Kardashian video. He's been around for a long time, Brandy's brother. Ray J is, you know, sort of always been like this middling celebrity that never really...
Not really talented.
Nobody thinks he's cool, but he also has a bunch of money because he got paid off that Kim Kardashian video. And so Ray J is opening up about the recent drama with his pregnant wife. He denies her claim that he left her and their daughter stranded here in Las Vegas and expressed disappointment that she took it to social media to air her grievances.
Mm. Of course he did, because there might be some truth to that.
His wife, Princess Love, recently blasted Ray J online, claiming that he left her high and dry in Vegas and blocked her from calling. He also blocked her on Instagram.
I don't really feel bad for Princess Douchebag, whatever her name is.
Love, Princess Love. Yeah.
Because you married Ray J. You knew what you were getting into.
So they have a kid on the way. They have another kid, and he ditched her and then blocked her from calling and blocked her on Instagram and everything else. And then he wasn't cool with her taking it to Instagram to call him out. And so he got on Instagram to talk about how uncool it was that she took it to Instagram because she was airing their dirty laundry.
So
he responded on social media himself.
Yeah, this is...
Cool.
Real classy. All
glad
the way
that you
around.
Guys are breeding and bringing more kids into
Thank
this
you.
World.
It's as Harvey Danger once said, only stupid people are breeding.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I want you all to admit whether or not you pee in the shower. I know you do. It's okay to admit it. I do it all the time. Actually, I think I do it every time. So, but only number one, though. Number two would just be inappropriate.
Message deleted.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Number two would definitely be inappropriate. I'm not a serial number oneer in the shower.
If I got to go, I got to go.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes if you got to go, you got to go.
I'm not getting out of the shower.
But I'm not one of those people that get in having to go. I'll go before I get in.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
But Go ahead.
The real question is, are you peeing if you're showering with your significant other in the shower? Ever done that?
No.
How long have you and your husband been married?
6 years.
You're still showering
together? One time I peed in the shower.
You've been married for 6 years?
Oh, no, we've been together for 6 years.
No, we've been together for six years.
One time I peed in the shower with him in there, and it was so bad. I was like, oh, my God, okay, that's going to be a one and done for
you can't
me.
You can't do it with a significant other.
Wait, why was it so bad? What, did you have asparagus or something the night before?
Yeah, it was like a dehydrated day. It was like a really dehydrated day. I tried to get away with it quickly, and no, it didn't happen.
The couple
busted.
Showers.
It wasn't good.
I think my wife and I have been married, or we've been together for 8-plus years,
and we have never showered together once.
What?
Because
I don't blame you.
Because
blame you.
Because the cohabitated of the shower, unless you, it's like somebody's always cold. Like, because if you're not in the direct stream of the water, like, let's just, like, let's, you know, things need to happen. There's a perfectly good room right there.
Who likes to get it on in the shower anyhow?
I feel like that's how you die.
No, it's overrated.
It's awful.
It's overrated.
Yeah. The water is distracting. Like, yeah, I mean, there should be plenty of good stuff happening without having to have a stream of warm water dumping on you. Like, that's just not for me.
Who needs to make that better?
Yeah, right.
You're doing it wrong.
Please leave. I like showering with my husband, though.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it's like kind of like a connection type of thing. I really like.
That
I
explains
like it.
Why I hate
I
it so much.
Connection. Warm and cozy, but we like doing it is definitely overrated.
If you had like one of those like super nice, like if you got a fancy ass house and you got like the two streams and something,
but
like that.
Then it's not even like showering together because you're like in this large room with two separate showers.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that makes showering good is if it's not like showering together.
The showering, like especially for me, is like a very intimate thing. You know, it's like I just want to
exactly
let,
why
I just want to like I just want to no I just want to stand there and let the water hit me in the face and me think about all the awful things and like just like how stupid I am
and then it just
like
all
how
gets
I've
washed
wasted
away
my life.
Getting emotional in
no
there.
One can
okay.
tell you're crying.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, Audrey, if someone offered you a job as one of those vapid Instagram models, would you do it? And then would you go places asking for free stuff? And Mahoney, I'll pose the same question for you too.
Message deleted.
Well, I feel like whenever you call it a vapid Instagram influencer, no. I mean, I think that it would be fun to get free stuff. I mean, like, well, doesn't everybody like that? I mean, I don't think that you would knock somebody, or even if it were an option or opportunity for you, if you were like, hey, like, come through and get some free food if you just post it on your socials, that would be pretty cool. But otherwise, like, I mean, I would just be here for, like, the gluttonous ones. Like, I don't have, like, I can't be, like, a bikini model, like, 0% chance. Maybe if I have, like, some chicken nuggets, like, displaying on my, like, belly button maybe, but otherwise, like,
that's where you keep the dipping sauce.
Yeah.
You remember the guy eating the corn dogs?
Oh, wait, we're onto something.
That video of the dude eating the corn dogs with the ketchup in his belly button.
Oh, that kind of that messed up corn dogs for me for a little while. Now that you just brought it back up,
I've had a corn dog since. I will. I'll answer this guy's question. The only one I would do it for would be Disney. That's it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
See, there's certain things that are interesting.
If Disney's going to take care of me, I would go be a social media, quote unquote, influencer for them. But even as like doing the radio show for as long as we have, you know, we get invited to free openings and like, you know, free dinners and there's
absolutely
free stuff. But all of it for me, I don't like doing it. Like when I was broke and I had no money and I was like living with four other dudes and I was scraping by, I was like, yes, because that's where the vast majority of, like, any time I could treat myself to a nice meal, that's where I would go.
But now that you're just so rich.
Insanely wealthy.
So wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've saved a little bit money of the 15 years I've been here. I don't like doing it anymore because I feel like I also
have not saved any money. Your
my wife
saved money.
I have the royal we, Dave.
We have saved money.
She's got
yes.
a pension. She's got a pension.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I feel like I'm going to owe somebody something. That's why the same thing, I don't like doing any of that anymore. It's just not my bag unless it's Disney. And then I will go on a Disney cruise. I will jump on a free Disney cruise in a second. They gave me one free cruise and I paid for the eight cents. They got me good. I'm broke because of them. Bastards.
Everybody likes to be a hater on Instagram. If you got free stuff, whoever that caller was, if there was somebody offered you something free, like free puppies every day for a year, like you take it. Like, of course.
Would you?
Free puppies?
Just
that
like,
seems
horrible.
Yeah,
sounds
yeah.
Terrible.
Free puppy pats. What? Free puppy pats. Like, if I could foster a puppy for a day and just give it back and just be able to post the cute puppies on Instagram, heck yeah, I'd take a puppy a day.
See, I don't want to be beholden to anyone.
Yeah.
And I also have a guilt complex. So, like, if somebody gives me something, then I do feel like I owe them. And I hate that.
Yeah, most of the stuff that gets given to you is just junk.
Yeah.
You're like,
but what happens
I gotta
if it wasn't junk? Like Disney, you just said
that's
if it
the
was
that, like I said, that's the only one, because I love it, and right. I already spend half of my income on their products.
To answer your question, yes, we'll be your stupid Instagram influencers if it's Disney or puppies, and that's it.
Or Disney puppies.
Disney.
Then we're really in.
Disney Plus. Ooh, give me that free $7 a month.
It's $7, lady.
Nope, I need free $7.
Please leave a message after the tone.
All right, so Dave and Mahoney are both adamant that they will never get tattoos. But my question is, if you had a gun to your head and someone said you had to get a tattoo, what would you get and where? And I don't care like how big it is or anything, but you have to get one. What is it? Go.
Message deleted.
Something for my kids.
Gun to your head, that's what you would get?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, what would you get?
I was thinking like...
a tattoo that says, don't shoot me.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Thinking a self-portrait of me winking on my backside.
You would.
That backside, a little wink?
Yeah. Thought you had blue eyes, not a brown... Oh, wait a minute.
It is Friday once again, my friends.
All I want to eat is them barbecue.
We've worked so hard this week.
Oh, so hard. All I
want is someone to and we deserve to treat ourselves to a phenomenal beer here in the studio today.
Dang. You know, if we'd really thought this through, we should have given Audrey some beer to take with her out there since... she's actually doing the hard work today.
How dare you say that I'm not working hard right now?
You are not. You fell asleep once.
Should I go grab a 40? There's a gas station right in front of me. Should
just grab any random 40 in a brown bag and play along.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could just, I mean, this isn't like last week we did, I forget what we did, like the Backwoods Bastard or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we went a darker beer. And so this week we did the Boysenberry one from Craft House, which was, that was a good one. Very, very good beer from a local brewery here in
town.
Show
me that can, boy. Audrey is so excited.
It was a nice can.
So this week, I thought I would go with an IPA since Audrey wasn't going to be joining us here in studio.
Hates IPAs.
And she hates IPAs. Yeah. So the beer that we are drinking today is the Dogfish Head 75-Minute IPA. It has 7.5% alcohol by volume and 75 IBUs. Today being served from a 12-ounce brown bottle that was bottled just about 3 weeks ago. So this is a very, very fresh IPA. It was priced at $10.99 for a six-pack for, not a bad price for one of these beers. And traditionally, Dogfish Head is, distributed mostly nationwide. Haven't seen the 75-minute in a hot minute, but I was out the other day, and I saw it, and I was like, and I looked at the bottled-on date, and I was like, oh, damn. That's fresh. So, picked that up. The five categories in which we rate every single beer for breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. The look of the Dogfish Head 75-minute IPA pours a semi-transparent copper with two fingers of creamy off-white head. There's a lot of thick and sticky lacing, as you can see, Dave, on the side of my glass as it creeps down there. The next category is the smell. Let's all take a big whiff. And by all of us, I mean me and Dave, since Audrey's down at down at Albertson's on Stephanie, and Ian is
on vacation.
Yeah,
smells nice. Smelling a lot of pine here.
You're not wrong. Yeah, I mean, you get a little bit of the alcohol in there. Certainly, you get some citrus as well. You know, kind of what you'd expect for from floral notes. Like, what do you expect from an IPA?
Like Dogfish Head, traditionally, like they're 60-minute, they're 90-minute, they're 120-minute, pretty extreme. But they're 60 and 90-minute are pretty traditional, like old school IPAs that are very easy drinking. They dry hop the bejesus out of these, and I think that comes through with the nose. You get that smooth dry hops. You get a little bit of a creamy herbal undertone and a little bit of citrus there, but not overwhelming, I would say. And basically. Basically zero alcohol. You can smell just like a trace amount of it, but it's not like you put your nose to it and you wouldn't describe this as boozy, in my opinion.
I would agree with that assessment. Overall, though, pretty pleasing nose and not too much, even for non-IPA aficionados.
Well, let's take a drink of the Dogfish Head 75-minute IPA. Let's take a big old drink of this.
Can you hear my cheersing? That's my coffee cup.
Thank you. Sounds like you're playing cowbell.
We need more of it.
We need more cowbell.
We need more of it. Dave, you are traditionally a big fan of IPAs. Your initial thoughts on the Dogfish Head 75-minute IPA?
So you'd think with a Dogfish Head and a 75-minute IPA that it would really be super hoppy, and it's actually pretty smooth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very easy drinking, and maybe that's just because I love IPAs, but for the most part, This one, not trying too hard, which is what I like about it. There are some IPAs that, in my opinion, try too hard. They overdo it with the hops. They overdo it with the floral notes. They overdo it with sometimes just the alcohol as well. This is really well balanced, where after you take a drink of it, it doesn't really hang out and leave anything on your tongue that's unpleasant. You get a little bit of that IPA twang, if you will, but otherwise, smooth, man.
You know, Dogfish Head has been well known. I mean, they have kind of been a staple of the IPA world for the better part of like 20 years now. And I, in my opinion, the 75 minute differs certainly from the 60 minute and the 90 minute, which are great beers in of their own right. I think this is interesting because it does have shades of that old school piney IPA from 20 years ago that they're so well known for, but it doesn't have a massive amount of pine, a little bit of citrus in there as well. It's nicely balanced by that big malt presence, but unlike some of those other beers that you get, that like the IPAs that have just sat too long, like if you got like a Pliny the Elder that has sat in your fridge for like 6 years, it's going to just be this big giant malt monster, and it's not going to taste the way it should just because the hops fade and the malts just completely overpower it. This one is very fresh and it's very nicely balanced. But those malts, I think you get like a very sweet malt in there, and I think that's kind of based because they make this with what is it called? Maple syrup.
Ooh.
Sorry.
He's blacked out for a second.
For somebody who doesn't know the difference on these and the different IPAs, like what is the 60-minute, the 90-minute, the 120-minute? Like what does all of that mean?
Simply put...
basically, for the layman, what you're going to say about the 60, the 75, the 90, and the 120, as the number gets bigger, so does the alcohol. Yeah. And it's, I believe it's how long they leave it in there or something. You know, they gave it a number for a certain reason. I don't know exactly what, but like as the numbers go up, so does the alcohol. The 120 minute is a beer that will put you on your ass. It's like double the alcohol. This Dave and I,
you
know, we're sitting around like years ago when they, like we were hardly ever able to get our hands on the 120 minute. I remember we were sitting back in the backyard of your old house over off of Shellboard.
Oh yeah.
And we were drinking like one of these each, and we were like, oh man, this is really good. And then you like look down and it's like 14% alcohol by volume.
And
like,
then next thing you know.
And I think this is a much better value bang for buck versus the 120 minute because, I mean, you're looking at like $10 or $11.99 for a six pack, and some of those places are charging $10 or $12 or even, I've seen it even higher for a 120 minute single bottle.
Single bottle, yeah, the standalone.
Overall, like I said, you know, did this the finish on this, like Dave said, you get a little bit of that piney bite, but it's not that overly aggressive hop bite. It blends well with that malt and maple syrup sweetness. So this makes it a very easy drinking IPA. I mean, even
super
for 7.75 or 7.5% alcohol by volume, you're not quite in that double ABV, or you're right at the edge of, you know, single IPA versus double IPA.
You got to be careful with it though, right? Because if you're talking about almost 8%, and it drinks this easy,
double
too.
Bud Light,
yeah.
No, every one of these is like two Bud Lights, and you drink these a whole lot faster, and they taste a whole lot better. The mouthfeel, it's light to medium bodied. I would describe this as creamy, very smooth. The overall drinkability for the Dogfish Head 75 minute IPA. I think this bridges that gap for IPA drinkers who want a little bit more than the 60 minute IPA because that drinks very, very smooth, but a little less than the 90 minute. This has an added wow that you can't get from either of those with that maple syrup, so it gives you a little bit more maltness. It gives you a little bit more sweetness there that is more pronounced. The price point is really good at $10.99 for a six-pack. So at 7.5% ABV, I would say this is a pretty solid buy overall. So if you can get your hands on it and it's fresh, pick up some 75-minute Dogfish Head IPA. Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
Yes.
Oh! Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy, I give the Dogfish Head 75-minute IPA a 4.2 out of 5.
Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
Cheers!
Beer for breakfast.